I join the announcements already made to express my personal appreciation for you being here today. Have a good crowd present. We have visitors among us, and we thank you for coming. As been announced, I'm going to talk to a debate about the topic on the board behind me, appreciation for God's law. It's in Psalm 119. You've been given a sheet, some of you have at least, and you've had that a couple of weeks to look over and fill out, and I wanted to see, as you read through chapter 119, that if we come up with the same things, and so if you didn't have a chance to fill that out ahead of time, some of you did not, feel free to fill it out as we go along today. I'm going to divide our lesson into two parts, half of it this morning, and the second part of it at the evening service tonight, when you come back at 5 o'clock. There's a great need for us to appreciate this book. This book is not the book of the month, nor the book of the year, but it's the book of books. It's the only book that's been written that tells us from whence we came, why we're here, and where we're going when it's all over. It's God's Word. It's the Bible. The word Bible means the book. And I want to talk to us this morning about some phrases on the board behind me, and I've given you the verse. These verses are the verses in Psalm 119. Here's some things I want you to learn about. In Psalm 119 and verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. When you see that little phrase, in the law of the Lord means it's divine. It's of God. This book is not the work of men. It's the work of God. We just heard read a moment ago from 2 Timothy 3:16, where Paul said all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That word inspiration means God breathed these truths into the writers. And he said these words are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. We don't need anything else except this book. This book is from God. It's divine. When Moses gave the old law in Exodus chapter 20, he points out in that particular chapter that these were the words of God. When Paul wrote the Galatians, in Galatians 1, 11, and 12, Paul said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel preached of me, now watch it, is not after men, but of God. It's pretty important I learned that. It's of God. In fact, this book is so inspired that one time the Apostle Paul made an argument on just one letter in a word. You know what that letter was? The letter S. Remember that? In Galatians 3, 16 to 19, he said, not unto seeds, plural, but unto thy seed, singular, which is Christ. I got to thinking about that. If the apostle could make an argument on just one letter in a word, you better believe that the Bible is divine. It's inspired of God Almighty. It's the Word of God. Drop down with me now to verse 9 in Psalm 119. The question is asked, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? You know what the answer to that is? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I've underscored in my Bible the word cleanse. God's word will make you clean. Pretty important, isn't it? We need to be clean. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5:22, keep thyself pure. Only you can do that. In John 15, he said in verse 3, you're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. Peter also wrote about it in 1 Peter 1:22. Peter said that you purify your souls in obeying the truth. How do you make yourself clean? Through this word. By reading and studying and believing it and obeying it. When you read these kinds of things, it's designed to help you appreciate God's word or God's law. Come with me now to verse 11. Psalm 119. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and 11, "Thy word," this is the word, the Bible is God's word. You know, John said in John 17, "Thy word is truth." "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." By the way, here's the Bible heart up here. I hear people saying, "I'm saved because I can feel it in my heart." That's just the blood pump, isn't it? Here's the Bible heart, the part that thinks and loves and obeys. The psalmist said, "I've hid the word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The word keeps you from sinning so much. Can you think of somebody in the New Testament who was tempted of the devil 3 times, but it hid the word in his heart and did not sin? Who was that? Christ himself. The devil tempted Jesus 3 times in Matthew chapter 4. By the way, there are 3 ways or 3 avenues by which we're tempted. In 1 John 2:15, John said, "It's either through the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life." That's only 3 avenues the devil has of tempting us. When Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4, you can read about it, he overcame that temptation every time. You know what he said? "It is written." And he quotes scripture. So I make the point that you need to appreciate God's law because it'll help keep you from sinning so much if you're familiar with this book. When you're tempted to sin, if you can recall a passage of scripture, it'll give you some power and strength to say no, sir, to the devil when he tempts you to sin. We need to appreciate this book. But there's another one. Come with me now to verse 28 in Psalm 119. "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." The word of God, look at it, will make you strong. That's the point the psalmist is making. To make you strong. In this world in which we live today, we need to be strong. We need to have some backbone and some courage to stand up and say no when we need to say no. The Bible talks about it in Ephesians 6 and 10. When he said, "Be strong in the Lord." There's the strength, the source of our strength, by the way, in the Lord. You know, the apostle said one time in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You need to learn to rely on the Lord for strength and for courage and determination to do the Lord's will. When God called upon Joshua in the Old Testament to take the place of Moses, he laid down 7 rules for spiritual success. You know what one of them was? Be strong. You got to learn to be strong. You can't be a weakling to survive in this world today in which we live. Got to learn to be strong. Where do you get that strength? The psalmist said, "According to thy word." The word of God will make you strong. When you understand that, it'll cause you to appreciate God's word. But number 5, come with me this time to verse 41 in Psalm 119. "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord," watch it, "even thy salvation according to thy word." When you pick these out in the sheet I gave you to put it on, did you come up with that one? Salvation is available in God's word. The word salvation is used 2 ways in the Bible. 1, salvation from your past sins when you obey the gospel. 2, salvation eternally in heaven after a while. When you are obedient to the gospel, you hear the word, that produces faith in your life. The Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to hear the word, but either by reading it yourself or somebody teaching, one or the other. You got to know it. Then you must believe it. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." The apostle says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In New Testament days, when men were asked about faith, they said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The eunuch said that just prior to being baptized in Acts 8 and verse 37. Not only must you hear and believe, you must repent of your sins. You know what that means? The word repent means to change. If you're going that way, if you repent, what would you do? Turn and go that way, right? Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of life. Doing something wrong, when you repent of it, what do? You quit it and go in a different direction. And God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17, verse 30. Then you must make that public confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In becoming a Christian, you do not confess your sins, but your faith that I believe that Christ is God's Son. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, he that confesses me, Christ, before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven. What's next? In order to be saved from your past sins, you need to be baptized. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. It's to get into Christ, Galatians 3:27. Salvation is in Christ, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:10, and you're baptized into Christ where salvation is. And so there's salvation from past sins when you're baptized. When you're baptized, every sin you've ever committed will be forgiven, forgotten, and never brought up again by the Lord. And then you have to work to have eternal salvation. You don't have that yet. It's not in this world. It's in the world to come. When you become a Christian, you have the hope of salvation in Christ. 1 John 5:3. We have the promise of salvation, eternal life. 1 John 2:25. That's reading the apostle said in Philippians 2:13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's something you have to do. Have to work it out by being faithful and steadfast and unmovable. We need to appreciate God's law because it provides for your salvation. Number 6. Come with me now to Psalm 119 and verse 50. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The word of God is a book of comfort. We need to appreciate the Bible because it contains so much comfort that often we need. All of us need it, don't we? From time to time. We need to be comforted from one thing or another. You know what the best comfort is? This book. What do you think might be the most comforting scripture in all the Bible? Well, there may be a lot of them. Let me give you a few of them. In Psalm 34:19, the psalmist said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. In Deuteronomy 33:27, Moses wrote, the eternal God is thy refuge and underneath of the everlasting arms. I suppose the most famous reference of comfort is the 23rd Psalm. You familiar with it? It's a Psalm of David, a shepherd boy. David may have been watching for clear, clean water for his sheep, looking for green pastures for them to graze on. David may have lifted his eyes unto heaven and said, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You read anything more comforting than that? Read it often. As Jesus was about to leave the apostles, he said in John 14:1-3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know the way. And then Jesus made this classic statement when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:1-6. What comfort. When Paul wrote the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 5:1, he said, we know. Paul, what is it that you know? That if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that is if we die, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Think of that. When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians, you know what he said one time in Philippians 1:21-22? He said, to die is gain. Think of that. It's better. And in the final book, in the book of Revelation, he talks about, blessed are the dead which die. Die where? In the Lord. Revelation 14:13. Well, I could go on and on. Suggesting to you comfort scriptures. We need to appreciate God's word, because it's a book of comfort. Read it often, as you need to be comforted from one thing or another. Let's look at verse 74 now. In verse 74, Psalm 119. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Watch it. Because I have hoped in thy word. I've underscored the word hope in my Bible. Did you put that on your list? The Bible provides hope. What would we do without hope? Well, what is hope? Well, I tell you, hope is something that makes you get up in the morning. It keeps you ticking, keeps you going, doesn't it? Hope. Hope is so important that Romans 8:24 says we're saved by hope. You ever wonder how it is that hope would save a person? Hope saves in the sense that it motivates you to do what God says do. You see, we don't have eternal life here and now. It's not in this world. Mark 10:29-30 says it's in the world to come. If we're in Christ, we have the hope of eternal life. Titus 1:1-2 refers to the hope of eternal life. Remember, if you hope for something, you don't yet have it. It's in the future. A kid, for example, hopes for a new bike. Does he have it? Not yet. When he gets the bike, he quits hoping for the bike and hopes for something else, right? That's the way it works, isn't it? Hope is something in the future. And so, the Bible provides hope. You know how many hopes there really is? One. One final hope. In the book of Ephesians 4, the first 6 verses, Paul lists 7 ones. You know what one of those ones was? One hope. And that's the hope of life beyond the grave. By the way, when you die, that's not the end of things. You don't cease to be. You're not annihilated. You live on. The only thing that physical death is that the spirit slips out of the body. The body dies. The spirit doesn't die. Ecclesiastes 12:7 said, the body goes back to dust, but the spirit back to God who gave it. your spirit made in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 is eternal. You can't kill a man's spirit. But all you can kill about him is the body. Because the spirit is eternal. And we have the hope of life beyond this world. If we're in Christ, and we're faithful and steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. We need to appreciate the Bible because it provides hope. That's St. Paul writing the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, he's writing to Christians. And he said, when a Christian dies, you ought not sorrow as those who have no hope. Now, he didn't say don't sorrow, but don't sorrow as those who have no hope. The Bible said there's a hope of a tree. If it be cut down, what can happen to it? Sprout again. You've seen that happen? That's life. Hope beyond the grave. Well, there's one more, and the lesson's yours this morning. Come with me now to verse 86. Psalm 119, verse 86. All thy commandments are what? Faithful. You put that on your list? The word of God is faithful. What does that mean? Well, that means it's dependable. You can count on it. You don't have to wonder, is that really the way it is? That's the way it is. Whenever God says something, you can mark it down in whatever book you might mark things down in, because it's so. This book is the Word of God. It's inspired of God. It's eternal. And it's so lasting that when the judgment day comes, you know what's going to be opened? By which you and I will be judged? This book. In Revelation 20, 12 to 15, John the writer said that I saw the great and the small stand before God. And the books were open. Books. This Bible has books. 39 in the old, 27 in the new. The Old Testament will be open to judge the people who lived under the old law, the Jews. The New Testament will be open. These books, 27 of them, to judge us who live this side of the cross of Christ. Books. What a day. What a book. It's faithful. It's dependable. You can count on it. It's God's Word. I'll finish this lesson tonight at 5 o'clock when you come back. There are 8 more points just like these that I want to talk to you about from Psalm 119 that cause us to appreciate it. Thank you for listening so well today. There's a possibility. There may be those in this audience who are not Christians, who like to be one, who like to obey the gospel, who like to be baptized into Christ, so we can have hope of life beyond the grave. You've heard the word today already, haven't you? Do you believe it? Would you repent of your sins? Would you turn from that which is wrong and go in a different direction? So your sins can be forgiven? Would you be willing to confess your faith that I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son? If you'd be willing to do that, we stand ready to baptize you today, this morning, for the remission of your sins. And when you do that, the Bible says the Lord will forgive every sin you've ever committed. Every one of them. Think of that. You turn over a new slate, new sheet. And the Bible says the Lord will add you to His church. Automatically. You don't have to join anything. The saved are added to the church. Acts 2:47 says. Or maybe you've done that and you're a member of the Church of Christ and you've drifted away and you want to come back to be restored for repentance, confession, and prayer. We're going to sing the song. I'm going to encourage you to come today. Come to the front. Let us help you obey the gospel right now while we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say,
Come unto me, for I am the way. Hearken the loving call away. Come for he loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come for he bled. Savior, yes, Jesus the crucified.